Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Unscaled Travel Show. Jeremy Long here with my co-host and co-explorer, Amy.
Hello.
We are in Sin City, Las Vegas, and you are not. Be so sad for yourself. We're in the Diamondback Land Surveying Studios, and, you know, we're going to talk today about one of our favorite cities, and it's crazy because Vancouver keeps pulling people back, right? And if you've never been, if you've ever driven through the Pacific Northwest and thought, maybe someday I'll visit that beautiful Canadian city in the sky, this is the episode that gets you there. We return to one of our, like I said, favorite cities in North America. They're just like half an hour or so north of the border, and it feels almost like a completely, I want to say, sane world up there. We stayed in the West End this time. We walked around Gastown, of course. We hit the aquarium. We even crossed some suspension bridges for free.
Yeah.
That are alternatives to the big famous one up there. So we're going to talk about our latest trip to Van City, as they call it. Vancouver's a place that we used to go or frequent pretty often.
Yeah. Yeah. We went every year for quite a few years. Mm-hmm. But I never really got the chance to just relax and enjoy exploring the city because I was always there for work, but we'd tack on a day and go do something. This trip was purely for fun.
Yeah.
And I feel like I got a much better sense of the city than I've ever had before.
Vancouver remains one of my favorite cities. And, you know, I 100% believe that cities have a certain energy. Hmm. And you've been to places where there's not much going on, mm-hmm. where everything just seems kind of dead.
Yeah.
And that's not just like small towns or anything like that. I mean, there's bigger cities out there.
Yeah.
They're not high on my list to go back to.
Right.
They just have a totally different feel.
Me too.
But Vancouver, I always tell you, is one of those cities that I love the energy. I love that there's people always walking around. It's a very walkable city. Mm-hmm. And there's just kind of this vibe to it.
Yeah. And it's one of those cities that different parts of the city have different vibes too. So it's not like some cities we've been to and they're very, young college town, or they're like more culture and museums and the theater. Vancouver kind of has it all. And that's mm-hmm. one of the things that I really enjoyed, was seeing the different parts of the city and discovering new things about it that I didn't know.
I think no matter what you are kind of into, whether you are outdoorsy, if you're a foodie, if you're, you know, kind of whatever world you live in, Vancouver, without a doubt, and I don't think I'm being over the top with this, I think there's a little bit of something for everyone.
Yeah,
I agree. This city. Now, again, we've visited Vancouver a number of times over the years, but it has been a few years now between this trip and our last trip. So if you want to go back, if you are subscribed to us on any of like the podcasting platforms like Apple or Spotify or anything, check out episode 45. That's when we did kind of like a breakdown, like almost like listicle style, our favorite restaurants and places to stay, things to do. This isn't that. This is more of, you know, just our current trip and some new things that we kind of went through.
Yeah, because we did this trip a little bit differently, like we said. But the first thing that we did different was we've always flown to Vancouver. Mm. This time we flew into Bellingham, Washington, which is 30 minutes inside the U.S. from the border, and drove over. And this was the first time either of us have driven through a customs.
Yeah.
So that was a bit of a new experience for us.
Except
for,
I mean, years ago, like I went to Mexico, but I think it was a kid. I didn't hand my passport over to anyone or anything like that. So it is, if you've never done it, and there are plenty of people that have never left the United States. And we know that. But if you've never done it, it's different.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, some days, like we went through a bigger like port of entry, mm-hmm. Not port of entry, a crossing between Bellingham and Vancouver. And then we went to a smaller one a few miles away that
coming
also
back.
Led to this coming back.
Yeah.
That took us all of 2 minutes to cross the one in just north of Bellingham. Depending on the traffic time of the day,
yeah,
it could back up.
Yeah, that
you
was
need to be prepared.
That was the first thing I was concerned about. Was we had looked to see what the wait time was, and it said like 30 minutes. But then when I looked, it was actually 30 minutes coming into the U.S. that day, not going out. So I think we still, I mean, we still waited maybe 10 minutes to go through. But yeah. I did find it a little humorous. You were driving that day and you handed our passports to the guy, and he had a lot of questions for you.
I always get a lot of questions. Even when we're going through customs, we went to the Bahamas not too long ago, and we were going through customs. You were already there in the country, and I was going through, and the guy grilled me. Like, I stood there for a while.
I look like
one of those guys, and I'm not blaming them because I get it. I totally get it. When they used to, at the airport years ago before the Patriot Act and TSA and all this stuff, and they used to pull people out of line and, like, do a secondary search on people, I got secondary searched all the time.
I do remember that the first time we went to Mexico and they pulled you out.
They pulled me out of line coming and going. And they were like, you're definitely a guy that's smuggling something.
Well, I think that guy at the crossing must have thought the same thing, because he really wanted to know what you intended to do in the city, how long you were going to be there. These are legitimate questions, sure, I think, but he just kept drilling down. And then he kept asking you if you'd ever been in trouble with the law, which I thought was so funny because you said no. And then he just rephrased it and asked again. And I think he asked you four different times before he finally asked me four
different ways if I had any priors. And I was like, number one, don't check. Number two, I think it's because I kept looking at you. I was driving, but I just always defer to you on everything. I was like, where are we even staying? Where are we going? And he was just like, why don't you answer it? I think maybe he thought I was getting smuggled. I don't know, for a second there. But we made it across the border. It was our first time, like we said, driving through to Canada. So, but we wanted to make a short detour over to a beautiful little town called White Rock.
Yes, yes.
White Rock is Canadian picturesque. But we went there for an ulterior motive, but because, you know, we have a certain love for a TV show that's been off air for years now. But but if you already know where we're going with this, then I won't spoil the surprise. No, actually, I will. Go ahead. Tell them.
We love the TV show Psych, about the guy who pretends to be a psychic detective. Yeah. And it was filmed in the Vancouver area, and several of the locations were in White Rock. And it is, as soon as you go through the border, the very first light you come to, you take a left to go to White Rock. Yeah. It is right there. But it's a lovely little seaside community, and it actually has the longest pier in Canada.
Yeah, the longest pier juts out there into the water, which is the same pier they use in the show.
Yes.
And right next door to it is the Psych office, the building they use for his office, base of operations or whatever. And it's so cool, like, to see it if you're a fan of the TV show, and it's such a goofy, funny show, and you're just like, oh, wow, okay, these are actually right next door to each other. Like, steps between each other and everything. And now, I think the Psych office is a museum.
It's a museum. It's a maritime museum. Mm-hmm.
But the pier is there. And then the namesake, Giant White Rock,
right there,
is right on the beach. And you could go take pictures by it, I guess.
But even if you're not a fan of the show, it is a cute little town. A lot of shopping and restaurants and places right there on overlooking the water. It was a very overcast day, but there were still people out there on kayaks and boats fishing. So you can tell it's a really active seaside community. But it was so cute and adorable little houses all facing the beach.
Yeah.
Loved it. Definitely, I loved walking around there.
Yeah, definitely a place I want to go back and just, you know, spend a half a day exploring. Because we really just marked those locations and we were trying to get up to Vancouver. So we didn't stay all that long. But it started our tracking of more Psych locations around that area.
Yeah.
And also, and this is, I don't know if this is a positive, but it also started this, I started noticing the parking situations and the parking fees. This is the first time I was kind of like, okay, what's going on with this? But after the weekend, as we progress in this story, you'll understand what I'm talking about. Keep it right here. It's the Unscaled Travel Show. We're talking about Vancouver. Be right back.
Unscaled Travel Show is brought to you by Diamondback Land Surveying. For all your land surveying needs, contact Diamondback Land Surveying at 702-823-DBLS.
everyone. Welcome back to the Unscaled Travel Show. Jeremy Long here with my co-explorer, Amy.
Hello.
Why are you making eyeballs?
Did you just forget what you were supposed to do?
I was bringing us back in from break, and I was like, what are we doing? Where are we at? My mind's in Vancouver. That's what we're talking about today. You know, it's an incredible, if you've never been to Vancouver and you've been, you know, kind of eyeballing Canada, a lot of people really love Toronto. And you've been to Toronto.
Yeah.
So a couple of years ago now, but you've been to Toronto and I've touched down at different places. I've been to Calgary and Edmonton. Nothing against these other cities. I think they all have incredible aspects to them. For my money, though, a great place to start and a great place to frequent right back is Vancouver.
Yeah. No, I really do enjoy Vancouver. It had been several years since we went, and I was thoroughly looking forward to going back, and the trip did not disappoint.
Yeah.
Saying that, there were a couple of moments where things didn't go super smooth, but we have traveled enough that you kind of just roll with it now, unfortunately. Right. And one of those was checking into our hotel. We had a little bit of an issue.
Well, even before we got to the hotel, I will tell you this. Vancouver is a larger city. It does have a larger old city. So some of the streets there's a lot of one-way streets. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of very tight streets. And parking is a premium. And that kind of compounds with the whole parking, you know, paying for parking thing that just really frustrates me.
Pay for parking everywhere.
Everywhere, right? So we leave White Rock and we travel up Highway 99. Highway 99 brings you along through all the other little towns through like Richmond and by the airport, the international airport, which is actually one of the really nicer airports around Vancouver's. But it takes you through like the heart of suburbia going into Vancouver. The thing about it is the major thoroughfare for the city. And it's only total four lanes across. There's two going in, two coming out.
And it's not a highway.
There is
a stoplight. Every
couple of blocks, there's a stoplight. And very rarely are there left turning lanes and right turning lanes to get. So if you're in the left lane and someone's trying to go left and it's a heavy traffic flow, which it's always a heavy traffic flow on 99 going into the city, then you are just stuck there.
And did you notice most of the lights did not have like a protected left
turn? They don't have protected left turns.
So you just have to sit there until traffic opens up.
Oh.
And it is such a narrow street. The street's lined with shops and restaurants on both sides. People are parked there too.
Some of the lanes turn into parking lots.
Yeah, it just.
I'm confused.
A little frustrating trying to get into the city.
Look, an hour into trying to get into Vancouver, I can feel this rage building that normally doesn't live inside of me, but except for moments like this.
It really came out though when we went over into like the actual island part and we were trying to get, well, to our hotel and we had to, some of the streets are two-way and then they turn into a one-way for like three blocks and then they go back and we needed to make a turn to get to our hotel. But it turned into a one-way, and words were said. You thought I was navigating you wrong. My navigation's like, hey, this says it's a two-way street, but the sign says it's one-way. Words were said. We survived.
Words I can't repeat because the FCC doesn't like when I say these words. Anyway, we finally make it to the West End. But we're already a little bit tired and frustrated from the drive in, which whatever, larger cities have traffic. Mm-hmm. It's nothing new, right? Try LA. Just go anytime.
Anytime.
In LA. So we stay at a place called the Como. Now the Como is a fairly new West End hotel. I think it used to be apartments or something that they've transformed into a hotel experience. It's only at the time we stayed there, had it only been open for what, four?
They said 4 months.
4 months.
Yeah.
Knowing that, fully understanding that is like the time period for like hiccups to come up. We found a number of them. Now, we don't try to be a show that focuses on the negative. I do try to focus on positive things. That's why I always say wonderful a lot. And if I don't have anything nice to say, generally, I even messed up the word. Generally, I try to keep my mouth shut. You know, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything nice at all.
Aww.
Except for the Springfield Scenic Train in Missouri that I hate. Highway 99 going into Vancouver and certain other things. So, yeah. But so we won't play it safe with the
car. No, it was a lovely place to stay. But because they are new and because it's not a traditional hotel setup, there were some challenges. First of all, they have an entry gate that you have to have a code to get into. I had not received the code because apparently their email had blocked sending it to me for thinking I was spam or something. So they never sent me the code. They don't even have a doorbell on the gate. So we're literally standing outside in the mist trying to get through this gate. I had a bang on the gate for a few minutes until somebody came out.
Yeah, it looked like a scene from The Walking Dead. We were just trying to put our hands through anything.
But once we got inside, they gave us our code. They apologized many times that the email did not go through.
They were very friendly.
Yes.
Staff was, you know. But there were weird things about the rooms were nice. The beds were nice. It was all clean. I liked most of the rooms because they used to be residences. They have kitchens, so they're all suites. Mostly. I think they're mostly all suites. So if you're trying to save some money, you're cooking in, you could totally do that. It's advertised as having air conditioner.
It did not.
Our room did not have it had a heater, but it didn't have air conditioning. And it was a rather warm weekend for Vancouver. So that was a little annoying. And then there was no phone. Like at one point, I think we needed more towels.
Yes.
And there was no phone to the front desk, which is just a tiny desk in the lobby of this building at the very front. So, like,
I had to go downstairs and ask the front desk, the only person working there, to bring us towels. And she had to go.
Like, you have to get fully dressed again and, like, go down. And it's just like, there's little things like that that start adding up to kind of annoying. On the flip side, positive things about the Como and why I would recommend it is that it's literally just steps away from English Bay Beach, which I think is one of the best urban beaches.
Yeah.
Around, especially in this city, too. You go down there and it's just an amazing, like I said, just a feeling. People are on bikes. People are skateboarding. People are walking the seawall all the way up from Stanley Park.
And there's so many places to eat there, to have a drink. Yeah. I mean, there was this really fun sculpture right there on the water. What's it called?
It's called the Amazing Laughter Statue or Monument, I guess.
Yeah, it's so fun. It's like all these different bronze statues of men, and they're all laughing, but they're like giant statues, and it's just fun. But it was such a great little place. We ended up eating dinner at this place right there called Lucky Sushi Company.
Yeah.
And it was probably the best sushi we've ever had, but the vibe in there was fun, and they had giant windows that overlooked the beach, and we were watching the sunset over the water there.
Loved and that's kind of all of the restaurants in that area cater to. They know that sunset's going to hit right off the water, and so great place to just experience. And there's tons of noodle houses and all of them. Just check the reviews online because they all have great reviews. Keep it right here, Unscaled Travel Show. We'll be right back.
Unscaled Travel Show is brought to you by Diamondback Land Surveying. For all your land surveying needs, contact Diamondback Land Surveying at 702-823-DBLS.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the show. Jeremy Long here with my co-host and co-explorer Amy.
Hello.
Check us out online, unscaledtravelshow.com, for all of our past episodes, interviews, and like I said earlier, all the major podcasting platforms, Apple, Spotify, or maybe just those two. Anyway, the sister episode to this one is episode 45. If you want to check out our kind of a more of a listicle style of our favorite restaurants and things to do, it hasn't really changed much over the years. When you go there, I mean, we've noted earlier how much outdoor stuff there is to do, like just north of Vancouver's Whistler, which is a favorite for skiers and snowboarders. And I know you have some friends that go up there. I think it's a yearly thing.
Every year.
They go to Whistler. And then there's just so much outdoor stuff to do. In fact, on this trip, we were supposed to go on a whale watching tour.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it got canceled. So we had to pivot very quickly. Pivot.
I was very disappointed.
I was disappointed too, but it was out of our hands, and we got a quick refund, so I wasn't really upset at the tour company or whatever. Sometimes it just happens. And if we were staying any longer, like, we could have booked a different time. I mean, there's 100 different companies too that also do whale watching tours, or seaplane tours, or just tours of the city, or anything like that. So, but we pivoted and we went to a place called Granville Island.
Yeah.
And this is more for people that have never been to Vancouver, because I think people in Vancouver, I think it's a spot that I don't know if locals really go to.
I think Granville maybe Island. It's something they might do like on a Saturday, you know, let's get out of the house. We'll go down to Granville Island, walk around kind of thing.
I often wonder if they treat it like we treat the Strip.
Yeah. But I was going to say, I do feel like a lot of people there were tourists like we were.
Yeah.
It's a fun island. There's restaurants and shops. They've kind of turned it into, like, I would say almost a second downtown, like
almost.
Its own little secluded downtown.
Yeah.
But it has a great market in it.
Mm-hmm. Great public market. Yeah.
Yes. So you walk in, there's everything from flower stands and produce stands to bakeries, people, noodle houses, people selling meats and cheeses. I mean, everything is in there.
Yeah.
People were handing out samples, so we're just walking around trying different things. We grabbed a couple of cookies from one stand,
yeah,
and got a chocolate dessert from a different
bakery. Was a Black stand. Forest Black Forest cake, like a so personal good. Size one,
yeah,
and we went outside, and I don't think we even had spoons or anything. I think we just ate it with our fingers.
We just inhaled it.
Just grubby little people just eating outside stuffing Black Forest cake in our mouth. But okay, so Granville Island is a small peninsula under the Granville Street Bridge. So it's technically in this industrial area that they've developed over the years. And like you said and noted, that it houses one of the best public markets there is. So you can go buy fresh fish and meats or flowers or vegetables.
I mean, there's like artists there selling their
artists
art.
Selling things.
Yeah.
So, you know, they call it Granville Island. It's sort of not like an island vibe. It's not like the Bahamas or anything like that. But it is connected. It's easily walkable. It's best to, I think, either ferry or taxi or something like that, Uber down there, because parking is a premium. Found that out. And the
meaning
parking
there's not a lot of parking.
There is not a lot of parking. I had to use my parking skills like James Bond to put a very small car into an even smaller parking space. I would say
the marriage was almost over at that point.
God, you said earlier we were saying words and now you're talking about this.
Well, I don't like to help direct you into parking spaces because
you don't use the right directions. when you want me to go right, you say left. And then you're like, oh, no, I mean the other one. And I'm like, what? You mean right? Anyway, we're going to have a segment on this now. The best approach, maybe, especially if you didn't drive, is maybe they have the Aqua Bus or the False Creek Ferry from downtown, which takes, you know, maybe 10 minutes. It's a few bucks to ride. It'll take you to the market's doorstep, and then it'll bring you back to wherever you came from, right? So that might be the easiest thing to do. But like we said, I mean, you can pick up fresh cheeses. There's delis if you want to have lunch down there. There's a number of – we ate at the Tap and Barrel.
Mm-hmm.
Tap and Barrel Brewery, like brew house. Really excellent food and drink. They make their own beers, right? Yeah.
I think they make some, but then they also had some from the other brewery that's
which
on
is,
the
I
island.
Think, just Granville Island Brewery.
Yeah, and brewery. That's – as soon as you come in under the bridge, that is the Granville Brewery.
Yeah.
So lots of good places to grab a drink down there. Other restaurants to eat at. And there were signs of new restaurants that they were building out. Mm-hmm. So just kind of a fun place to hang out. I could see it being somewhere like you would go on the weekend in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
There were musicians all around.
Yeah.
Like they had tents for musicians to just be set up in. So a lot of different.
And it's like it's a working marina around there. So like right off of the main corridor where they were serving food and musicians were playing, they were working on ships that were dry docked.
Exactly.
They were like painting ships and everything. So we just stood there for a few minutes, just watching them like have these big giant yachts and sailboats mm-hmm. like on these things. I don't know what they're called. I don't own a yacht.
Cranes? I don't know.
And they were painting them, repairing them and all that stuff. But just a special thing, like if you just want to smell heaven, okay, there's a place called a Bread Affair.
Oh, right.
That's right in the middle of everything. Just duck your head. You don't have to go in there and buy bread, but I mean, do go and buy bread from there. But just stick your head in. Just, I think the workers are used to it from people just ducking their heads in. Step in there, just fill your lungs with just amazing smell of fresh bread.
If you love bread like we do,
oh my gosh,
you need to go to there. We walked by and just the smell of bread in the air around it was like, oh, what is this?
You remember those cartoons where, they would get a smell and it would lift them off the ground and they'd circle? That's what I did. Like a chubby kid, just right to the bread line. And it was just heaven.
It was. Yeah. So good.
Good Granville Station.
But there were several other artist workshops and galleries around there too. It's just such a fun little place and so many different things to see, different, as we said before, different vibes in different parts of the city. But there's just, a lot of it came together right here on Granville.
Yeah, the places to eat and the breweries didn't surprise me. All the local artists like shops did. I was like, man,
that's the place.
That's pretty amazing. Keep it right here on Scale Travel Show. We'll be right back.
Unscaled Travel Show is brought to you by Diamondback Land Surveying. For all your land surveying needs, contact Diamondback Land Surveying at 702-823-DBLS.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the show. Jeremy Long here with my co-host. I know I kind of shouted into the microphone, scared myself. What's your name? Amy.
Here Hello. She
is. I snorted. We're in Sin City, Las Vegas in the Diamondback Land Surveying Studios. Talking about our most recent trip to Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. What a wonderful time. We always have a good time when we go to Vancouver.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm saying that a lot. And it feels like maybe I'm laying it on kind of thick for Vancouver, but I really do like the city.
Yeah, I do too.
See, where people, I think, have kind of a love-hate with Las Vegas, a lot of people have a love-hate with places like New York.
Mm-hmm.
I've never really met a whole lot of people that are anti-Vancouver.
Yeah, I think people are like we are. Like there's specific little things that could be improved upon infrastructure wise,
sure.
But overall it's just a lovely city and it's pretty spread out too. So you don't ever really feel like for me, New York feels a little claustrophobic. I don't feel that way in Vancouver. There's the downtown area that kind of has a similar, mm-hmm. I guess, setup, but it's also right on the water. And you would just walk a couple of blocks and you're out of the skyscrapers and you're in maybe something like the Gastown district.
Yeah. And Gastown is probably one of the more famous districts in Vancouver. It's where a lot of traffic and tourists end up when they're looking for things to do. And, like you kind of test out a city. Where are the first places I want to go check out? Usually Gastown is where tourists kind of, it's a walkable downtown area, right? So Gastown is Vancouver's oldest neighborhood, literally. The city technically started there in the 1870s with a saloon opened by a Yorkshire sailor named Gassy Jack Dayton. I am not making that up. His name was Gassy Jack. And so you have Gastown, right? He arrived during the 1870s gold rush in Vancouver. The neighborhood was almost demolished in the 1960s to make way for a freeway, believe it or not. That's why they don't have a freeway going to. And you got to go up 99. No. There's another freeway, I think, on the other side.
Yeah.
Like Highway 1, I think mm-hmm. it is. But it was eventually saved by a campaign from local business owners and residents. So we really appreciate that because now it's a protected heritage site.
Oh.
And it's a great place to go and just get a good sense, a first sense of what Vancouver is and how it is.
It is lovely. It has the cobblestone streets and the old Victorian era buildings, and there's just so many like galleries and boutiques and places to eat and drink and shop. We walked around for a little bit. The last time we were there, I was at work and you walked around this area quite a bit more.
Yep.
So I know you saw a lot more than I did. Mm-hmm. What did you see that you thought, yes, I want to bring Amy back here?
Number one, the shopping. If you like to either window shop or just duck in and out of non-chain stores, more locally owned, more mom and pop kind of places. And that doesn't mean that they're all like cheap little places. I mean, there's souvenir places, of course, but there's more high end too. Yeah. But like, and they sell their own goods or local artisan goods too. So it makes it really fun to go spend a couple hours or half a day. You also see it as a place of like, you can bring, you know, if maybe if you're a local and you're having a date night or something like that, you and your betrothed, you know, as you are one to do with your beloved, as you're holding hands and walking through the park or something, you end up in Gastown doing this stuff. And there's also little places to duck in and eat. And whether that's at the famous like Lee's Donuts, which was, of course, recently on a couple of Netflix series. And good, we stopped into Lee's Donut, grabbed a donut because why not? It was so good. What kind did you get?
I got the old-fashioned cake, chocolate cake donut. Oh, it was so good. It was the lightest, fluffiest old-fashioned cake donut I've ever had. Because usually they're heavy and dense. This one, it was perfect.
I got a raspberry jelly-filled donut, and I got it everywhere.
You did.
I got it.
We literally stopped and stood on the side of the road and ate these donuts.
I was thinking about Japan. I was like, well, you're not supposed to do this. But whatever. And it was really good. And then there's the main street is Water Street. And it's been converted to mainly a pedestrian street. Which is actually a reflection of our own town, because here in Vegas, there's a place that they opened recently called Water Street. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of it, they patterned after Vancouver's Water Street.
Because so there is a marina just like a block over from this too.
Absolutely.
So it's surprising to me that they wanted to knock all this down and put a freeway there, because the marina's right there. That doesn't make sense in my head, like put a freeway next to a marina. But it's such a... I guess right across the water is very industrial, So maybe it makes sense to have, would have made sense.
And it was even more industrial back in like the 50s and 60s. So it made sense from a logic standpoint, but it didn't make sense from killing the heritage and the culture and the history behind the old neighborhoods too. Yeah. 'Cause that's what it would have done, is just turned it into a highway and the surrounding places basically into a parking lot. You know, and that wouldn't have been good for.
No,
I think the vibe of the city. I think it would have kind of killed it.
Right,
but now it's out there.
This part of the city, this particular street, has one of, I would say, the more well-known things of Vancouver, and that's the steam clock, which you have seen before. I couldn't really understand what it did until we went down there and saw it.
Yeah, so this steam clock, right? It looks like a Victorian relic. Basically, like a Victorian clock. It was actually built in 1977 by a guy named Raymond Saunders. The city needed something to kind of cover a steam grate on the sidewalk, and local merchants kind of got together and helped pay for this steam clock. Every 15 minutes, it releases steam and plays the Westminster chimes on the hour, a bigger burst of steam, and a full show. So, you know, you can kind of stand across the street rather than getting up close, and you'll get the full view. Especially if it's at the top of the hour. We were there at the 15-minute mark when it played the little chimes and did all of that. So it's good. You'll see people crowd around it for a few minutes. Lee's Donuts is right there.
Right across the street.
And also, I mean, Granville Island, there's a Lee's Donuts now.
I think that's the original.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a good connector, too. You can also take a taxi or a ferry from one to the other and get the whole feel. But I guess Gastown is a great place to walk around. Tons of galleries, too, to go check out. And it leads over into Chinatown, which they have one of the best Chinatowns in the entire world. So keep it right here. Unscaled Travel Show. We'll be right back. everyone. Welcome back to the Unscaled Travel Show. I'm Jeremy Long, here with my co-host and co-explorer, Amy.
Hello.
We're in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada, in the Diamondback Land Surveying Studios.
You keep staring at me. What? You did it again.
I get this far-off look in my eye.
Like, you totally lost track of what you were saying.
Like, I got a whole setup here. I'm managing multiple things. And yes, I did just get lost there. I was just like, you seem like a happy young woman. Who are you? What are we doing here? Who am I? We are talking about Vancouver, British Columbia, in Canada. I need to stop saying Canada.
You do.
Canadians hate that.
They do.
They really do. I'm sorry. Canada.
Canada.
I know it's so much easier to say. So we did Gastown. We did Granville Island because we had a whale watching tour that unfortunately got canceled. We pivoted because we, as a couple, you kind of fall into things that you really love to share with each other, and like aquariums. Mm-hmm. Aquariums are one of my thing.
Yeah.
Our things together, I guess. Didn't know where we were going with that. there's all kinds of different clubs you could go to, but we go to the aquariums where the fish are.
We go to aquariums, yeah, animal sanctuaries.
Please take over.
Zoos. I don't know when this happened that we, every single trip, we started doing something animal related, but now it's just a thing. We just do it and we don't even think about it. We're just like, oh, look, there's an aquarium. Oh, look, there's an animal sanctuary. Oh, look, here's a drive-through zoo. We just end up at them. So it kind of made sense that we went to probably the most famous park in all of Vancouver, Stanley Park, and ended up going into the aquarium there. But Stanley Park in itself is a really cool place to explore. Mm-hmm. You previously, when I was working, took a little journey over to Stanley Park and had your own adventure.
Yeah. If you want to hear the full adventure of what happened to me, check us out on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, episode 45. I think I broke the whole thing down of how I got stuck on Stanley Park and walked about 25 miles that day. Yeah. I literally walked around Stanley Park.
So just quick tip. Ubers and taxis will take you there, but there's not a lot staged there to pick you up, and cell service is not great.
Yeah.
So just consider transportation when you go out there.
Think beforehand. Take the bus. The bus, public transportation in Vancouver is pretty good. Take the bus out there because it has steady times. It'll come back to where you are. Lesson learned on that one.
And this isn't just a little like community park. This is a big, almost like a state park type of thing. And there's restaurants and there's, like we said, an aquarium and there's
museums, a seawall that people run and jog along that circles the island.
There's
and all of
hiking
that.
Trails. They even do, they call them horse-drawn tours. They look like a trolley car, but they're pulled by a horse and it takes you around the park.
Yeah, I mean, we saw that happening.
It's so big. The thing I really wanted to do out there was go see the famous totem poles. And that was, when we got out there, we made our way to the totem poles. And I didn't really know what to expect. I mean, the last time we were there, I'd seen some other totem poles around the city. But this is like a collection of totem poles that they have put together, and then they have little plaques telling you where they've come from. So these were actually owned by somebody in somebody's house or in front of their house. And one of them, it was just the top part of it, because in the picture, remember, it showed like it sat on top of the entrance into the house and you walked.
Yeah, you walked like through the eagle's mouth or something like that into, I forget the gentleman's name, it was Chief something. You walked into his house through this eagle's mouth, and the rest of the totem pole was above his home. And these are all hand carved.
They're beautiful.
And most of them were donated to this, you know, to the park, and they, you know, save them and all that. Now, it's an amazing place to go check out some of the history of the city before Vancouver was Vancouver, and the native peoples and everything else that occupied and lived on the land. And all of that. And it's a number one, like Vancouver's a great city for that too.
Yeah.
The culture and everything mixed in with like the First Nations peoples and all of that, the culture and history, it's just fascinating. It goes back so many years that you could just, I mean, we could do a whole show on that by itself, probably numbers of shows, But yeah, so we went over there and we saw the horses and we walked along the water, and just a beautiful day too. Mm-hmm. It was a gorgeous day. But we ended up at the aquarium, and you know, this is one of these things that we always end up with these fish.
Well, and you know, you have your things that you feel very strongly about were negative experiences. One mm-hmm. for me, the Boston Aquarium.
Yeah.
I have to put that on my list of a big disappointment. So I was a little bit hesitant going to this one.
Yeah.
And I will say I was pleasantly surprised.
I was surprised too. I think they have like over 120 exhibits with fish and, you know, jellyfish, and the outside they have the otters and sea, mm-hmm. I think sea lions and seals and different things. But it was a great afternoon. I know we spent a number of hours there.
Yeah, I think we were there. They even had some like
touch tanks for adults too.
Mm-hmm.
Look, the kids don't need to get, they don't need to corner the market on fun.
Right.
Okay. I understand your child who was just wiping stuff on a shirt gets to touch the jellyfish or whatever. But like, why can't I?
We could. I did get to do
here.
It.
They encourage it. They were like, hey, come on in there, big guy.
Yeah. So they had a little learning lab, I think is what they called it, off one of the main exhibits. They just asked you to rinse off your hands. And then they had a tank with jellyfish. And somebody was there telling you where to touch the jellyfish so you didn't get stung. Then they had other tanks with sea urchins and sea stars and some other animals that you could touch very gently. And then they had a lot of other tanks lining the walls of animals that they were in the process of rehabbing. So mm-hmm. there were little plaques telling you about the different animals, and they had very knowledgeable people working in there. So if you or someone in your family is really into sea life or marine biology,
into it.
Yeah. This is a great little place to go.
What stood out to you? Was there anything that you loved more than, because it's kind of broken down in regions. There's like a tropic mm-hmm. region and polar region.
Yeah.
Stuff.
So I thought, you know, it's an aquarium, but they also had the Amazon section, which you mm-hmm. walked in and it mm-hmm. was very, you know, aquarium, all these aquariums. But then they had a little area that you could go through, and it actually took you into kind of an Amazon environment. And they had some sloths in there. So we got to see sloths. And then they had some monkeys and some other things. And then that's where the reptiles lived. And you know how I feel about that. So I just scooted on past the reptiles.
It was the monkeys. The monkeys were hilarious.
They were hilarious.
As always. They steal the show. And there's little signs everywhere saying these monkeys are bad tempered.
They're mean.
They're mean. Ill-tempered monkeys.
I didn't see them being mean. They just were playing. But it was so adorable. I loved that part. But then the whole outside area, like you were talking about, it's, they called it, I think, the BC like regional aquarium. It's the types of animals that mm-hmm. actually live in their bays and harbors.
Yeah.
So it was sea lions and seals and otters, and they had large areas for them to play in. And then they had posted all over the place like different feeding times for different animals, so you could go and see the trainers and the feeders interacting with the animals.
That was really popular. Yeah. That was was that the sea lions and
yeah,
a couple of seals.
Mm-hmm.
But these were all rescued.
Yes,
too.
They were.
So two of them, I think two of them, at least one of them was completely blind.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were leading it around, and like the other ones had different disabilities that had been, you know, they'd been nursed back to health and everything. And so they were teaching you while they were feeding the animals, and just, I love experiences like that.
I do too.
Because it helps you to kind of see, there's always like a friction with some people in zoos and aquariums. And I'm kind of like in the middle, like, yes, I don't think animals should be contained, but also there is good, I think, that comes out of some of these places. And when you see something like this going on, I think it really,
they've saved some lives.
Yeah.
And
I laugh because I'm sitting there laughing while you're telling the story, because you are very much a person that likes animals from afar, because you're talking about the sloths and everything. But when the sloth was kind of started moving towards you, you were like, oh no.
Yeah. I didn't want to touch the sloth. No.
I was like, I don't want to see Amy punch a sloth. We got to get out of here. Unskilled Travel Show. Be right back.
Unskilled Travel Show is brought to you by Diamondback Land Surveying. For all your land surveying needs, contact Diamondback Land Surveying at 702-823-DBLS.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Unscaled Travel Show. Jeremy Long here with my co-host, Amy.
Hello.
For all of our past episodes and interviews, check us out online, unscaledtravelshow.com. Talking about beautiful Vancouver in Canada. We were just talking about the aquarium. And real quick, I want to tell people like a practical tip. We saw for ourselves, buy your tickets online. Mm-hmm. If you're going to go visit the aquarium, especially on a weekend, mm-hmm. buy your tickets online. We saw giant lines in the general ticket, general admission, lines out front.
The queue, yeah.
Yeah, the queue. And kind of backed up a ways. But with tickets that you bought online, we just walked right up.
Yeah, they had somebody scanning tickets in a different... a little bit over to the side. There was only one person in that line. We walked right in.
Absolutely. Buy them ahead of time. So now to the more controversial part of this show, right? So Vancouver itself has a very famous and kind of iconic bridge and location. It's called the
Capilano
Bridge, Suspension Bridge.
Yeah.
At that. It's been in a number of TV shows and movies, including the TV show Psych, that we were just talking about earlier in the show, and it is known throughout the world, want to say. If people don't know the name of it, they've seen bridge.
Seen a picture. Yeah.
And they've seen it in movies and everything else. Mm-hmm. So that bridge is just north it's actually called North Vancouver. Mm-hmm. It's across the water into North Vancouver from downtown Vancouver. I think it maybe takes 30, 45 minutes to get there bus.
Yeah.
And they have tours and everything else. It also comes with a nice little price tag. Mm. Okay. Regular tickets, I think converted to US dollars, I think you can get them for $50, $60.
Yeah.
Which for some people, that's nothing. Okay. And we're not here to argue the price because it's not only just one bridge. It's also a number of suspension bridges in trees in this beautiful area. Yeah. It's like a whole thing.
It's a whole park, they call it, but park in the terms of they do have several kind of cliff walks and almost not tree houses, but where they've built kind of decks around trees that you can walk out on. There's several platforms and things you can do. So it's not just the one bridge. And there is some hiking trails, things like that.
And the beautiful Capilano River runs underneath it. It creates this whole dramatic scene, right? People are out there getting pictures done all the time. Mm-hmm. It's a great place. Well, not a great place, but it's a place that people, you know, get proposals done and have senior pictures taken and all of that stuff, right? Little known to people outside of Vancouver, there's another suspension bridge.
Yeah.
That's on the other side of North Vancouver. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely free to go to.
Right.
And it's called Lynn Canyon, the Lynn Canyon Suspension Bridge.
Yes.
Now, tourists go to one because that's what they're told to and marketed towards and everything else. Locals go to the other.
Locals in the Unscaled Travel Show.
There you go. We went to the Lynn Canyon Suspension Bridge because...
Last time we did.
We went to the Capilano because why not? I mean, it's the more famous one. It's really, it's ginormous. It's 460 feet long. And it stands like 230 feet over the river below it, right? It's, like I said, very dramatic. Lynn Canyon is not as long. It's a little bit shorter. It's about 130 feet. But it sits inside this like 600-acre regional park with hiking trails and just tons of stuff to do. Way less crowds. And the price tag, like I said, is zero.
Yeah.
Minus parking.
And that brings it all back because I did want to say that the caveat to Lynn Canyon is because it is not a tourist attraction and it is for locals, there's very little parking. You have to drive through a neighborhood to get there. It's a couple of small parking lots and they do charge for parking. And it's not an astronomical amount. But when you've already been paying... $5 an hour to park everywhere else the entire week. You're at this point, you're a little bit over it.
And the parking day before we get to the bridges, right? The reason it kind of stands out to me and really we made it a point is that it's either like you get to buy 30 minutes of parking or you have to pay for 6 hours of parking. There's like almost no in between.
Stanley Park, when we went, it was you could buy 30 minutes or 2 hours or all day. It was like a 12-hour thing. And I was like, fine, we'll just, I don't know how long we're going to be here. So we just paid $25 to park at a park and walk around.
And we did it at Gastown.
Yes.
We did it at White Rock. I'm not complaining, but I'm complaining, right? So at the end of it, I was like, I think we spent more money
parking.
On parking all weekend than we did on anything else.
Yeah, true. So it I was happy like to find a free thing to do. And I was very, very pleasantly surprised by how nice the Lynn Canyon Park was. Mm-hmm. And just to me, it's a very different experience from the Capilano Bridge.
Yeah.
Positive for the Capilano Bridge is if you don't have a rental car, there are free shuttles that stop at multiple places in the city that will take you to the park.
Like from downtown and different areas to the park and back.
Yes. Yeah. So you don't have to worry about transportation. Mm-hmm. That part is free. Lynn Canyon, as we said, sits kind of on the eastern side of the city, kind of edge of the city. You need a car to get there or...
Like the buses.
Or like a Again, city bus
you
pass.
Need to, you need to get on the bus to do it.
So it's a little bit out of the way, but because of that, it is not crowded at all. I mean, there were... When we were on the bridge, there was a handful of other people there.
And if you want those pictures that no one else is getting, then, you know, and you're a tourist in Vancouver, then you're going to want to go to Lynn.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to want to do that because and people were being, I mean, super nice and accommodating. They were taking pictures and then moving out of the way so other people could take pictures. Because underneath, instead of just a straight waterfall like at Capilano, at Lynn Canyon, there were all kinds of waterfalls.
Yeah.
Beautiful waterfalls forming these just gorgeous pools underneath. Mm-hmm. So, and it was going all the way down to another bridge called the Twin Falls Bridge. This one isn't a suspension bridge. It's a wooden wooden metal bridge, but just as beautiful. And you get the waterfalls and the pools and all of that.
You have
too.
A waterfall on each side of it.
Yes.
So depending on which way you're looking, you have beautiful shots.
Absolutely.
And then the area around it is a bit of a rainforest ecosystem. So you and I were walking most of the trail from the suspension bridge to the Twin Falls is like a raised wooden platform. And it felt very like mystical.
Yeah,
I felt like we were in a cartoon about fairies and like little woodland creatures or something.
Yeah.
It was just really, really
It had
cool.
this like Narnia meets Lord of the Rings. You're like going through the forest and there's moss on everything, you know?
Yeah.
And because it was, I mean, this is Saturday. It's a day where everyone's off. It wasn't crowded. I think we passed one or two other couples that were kind of walking around out there. It just made it a good bit of almost an escape from the city. It was quiet in the trees. It was, you know, except for the water, you could hear the waterfalls and all of that. I mean, it was just really, really, I don't like to use this word too much, but it was really stunning.
It was.
When you saw all the bridge and the waterfalls and all of that together.
Yeah.
I mean, just really great.
Like you said, Capilano is suspended over a river. And it's a nice shot, and it is forest and lovely. But Lynn Canyon had this, it felt different because there was so much water. There were so many waterfalls. And this was just, that's just the beginning of a much bigger area, as you said, with more hiking trails. So you could spend, if you like to be outdoors, you could spend all day out there hiking.
Yeah. Some people that were parking, I mean, they had packs. They were going out for the day because that entire area around Lynn Canyon, like I said, it's a 600-acre park. There are trails that go on for miles and miles. In fact, you go even further out there and there's the Seymour River Suspension Bridge, you know, but it's a few miles out on the trail and everything. It's not quite as high over the water. But there are bridges that line this area almost everywhere. I mean, do a little research for yourself. Lynn Canyon Park, I believe, is the name of the actual park. And you'll find something if your group wants to get outdoors. You've already walked the West End, which is very walkable, and English Bay Beach and all of that. And you've done the Stanley Park thing. This is a great alternative. And from downtown, it's maybe 25 to 30 minutes without traffic. But mm-hmm. from the West End, if you're staying in the West End, somewhere like the Como, it's like 5 minutes we were at Stanley Park. I think 25 minutes we were in Lynn Canyon. Yeah. So there you go. We hope we helped, and we loved our trip back to Vancouver, minus the parking fees. We will see you guys next time on Scale Travel Show.